Welcome to the Sheraton Valley Magic City Sports Talk show on a Friday. NFL kickoff last night. A defensive battle. Green Bay beat the Bears. Chiefs will kick it off Sunday at Jacksonville. And this is your primer on the show as we are joined by the executive producer of the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel. We'll get the inside scoop. Mr. Dan, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy Red Friday, right?
There you go. It is a Red Friday in the kingdom as the Chiefs get set to kick things off. I heard Mitch's Minute with Mitch this week, and he goes back to the exact time that the season ended with that gut-wrenching loss to the Patriots, and says, here we go, we've been anticipating this moment. That's kind of the way it's been, right? So close to last year.
Normally, I look forward to the offseason. By the end of the regular season and the postseason, it's a grind. You know, I mean, it's 20, you're on the road for 20 weeks, it's 80-hour weeks, it gets tough by the time December and January and February roll around. Normally, the offseason is real relaxing and, not this one, man. I mean, the way that thing ended, you just couldn't wait to get back out there and finish take care of what unfinished business there was.
Well, no question. A lot of excitement. As you looked at the team in the offseason, I guess everybody points to the defense. Is there enough improvement on that side of the football that this is indeed a Super Bowl contender?
Well, I'll tell you my impressions from off-season, from the OTAs and from training camp is that yes, because you really don't have to have a championship defense with the Chiefs offense. I mean, they can score so many points. They just need to, the Chiefs defense just needs to be able to hold the other team from catching up. So I would say, you know, given that all we need is an average defense, the improvement we've seen so far definitely indicates that that's going to be the case. However, I think these guys have even more potential than that. This is a much improved defensive speed. It is a much improved defensive attitude. Both of those things combined. One of the things when they made the decision to change defensive coordinators, Bob Sutton was out, Steve Spagnuolo comes in. One of the things they did right, in my opinion, was to replace all those positional coaches underneath them. All but a few were completely changed. And what Steve Spagnuolo did was to bring in guys that were high energy, incredibly demanding coaches. They were teachers, more teachers than motivators. And I think you see already that we've improved the team speed. We've changed out a lot of the defensive players for guys that are more aggressive with more attitude. You're bringing those guys in. You're teaching them to be better players, stronger fundamentally. And what we've seen on the field so far indicates that this is definitely an improved defense.
Tyrann Mathieu, there's an example of a guy, a veteran guy, coming over. And I think we all love and appreciate what Eric Berry brought to the secondary. But what will Mathieu add to the Chiefs' defense at that level?
Yeah, you know, the Eric Berry, in my mind, there are two Eric Berrys. There is the pre-cancer Eric Berry, and there's a post-cancer Eric Berry. And it's a wonderful story, but having battled cancer myself, it does take it out of you. And even though Eric Berry made it back on the field at a high level, he never did quite get that spark back in his eye. And, you know, as much as I care for and like Eric Berry, Tyrann Mathieu is definitely got that hunger that Eric didn't. I think for Eric and I think for any cancer survivor out there, you realize there is more to life than whatever you do. In Eric's case, football. In my case, broadcast. In somebody else's case, you know, maybe they're an office worker or a salesman or, a truck driver. And you realize that necessarily isn't what life is all about. You can't afford, unfortunately, you cannot afford that in the NFL. You have to be so hungry for a championship that, you know, that is paramount and foremost in your mind at all times. And with Tyrann Mathieu, I think we see that. It sounds like I'm criticizing Eric Berry. I just think Tyrann Mathieu, the shift from one to the other has been significant. And his skills are incredibly good too. Now, he's a little banged up right now. The good news is he was in full participation all week in practice, so hopefully that shoulder won't bother him on Sunday come the Jaguars.
Dan Israel with me, the executive producer of the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. Another big addition on the Chiefs' side, Frank Clark. What do you expect from him?
Well, I'll tell you, when the Chiefs made this deal with Seattle, I really thought they overpaid for Frank Clark. I just felt like, you know, he was an aging player that possibly maybe only had a few good years left, and it seemed like we gave up an awful lot. Having been around Frank Clark, I have completely changed my mind. He is an impressive dude. I mean, he is just one of those guys that when you're around him, you almost get an infectious energy about him, and he is very much, a lot's been made about how verbal he is, especially at camp, but it's not a antagonistic kind of tone that he has. It's a challenging kind of tone, and I really think he is making our guys better. One of the things we saw at training camp in St. Joe this year was that the offense had to get better. They had to go against him every day, and he challenged them every day. And so, you know, my thought is it's making Eric Fisher a better player. And from an offensive line standpoint, that's what you want. But I can't imagine what, you know, Nick Foles better be ready for him because he is one aggressive man.
Nick Foles, the new quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They will host the Chiefs Sunday. We'll have it for you from the Chiefs Radio Network on 99.9 FM Kirk, starting with pregame at 11 o'clock. You'll hear from Dan Israel and the crew on the pregame show. All right, let's talk a little bit offense. High-powered, no doubt, if I'm going to nitpick. Is the running game strong enough? Can Damian Williams lead the way for a season's worth taking some pressure off of a Patrick Mahomes?
You know, it was interesting when we reached the 53-man cutdown last week. I suspected that Carlos Hyde would be traded. I just didn't feel like there was a need for Carlos Hyde's depth at running back, that Damian Williams and what we've seen out of Darwin Thompson so far, even as a rookie, these two could carry the load. And then the Chiefs make the deal after the Bills released Shady McCoy. They pick up LeSean and bring him here. And I thought, wow, I just didn't see that coming whatsoever. I'm very curious to see how they get McCoy into the mix here, because I do feel like the running game, while maybe unproven, if we see out of Damian Williams what we saw at the end of last year, I just have no concerns about that. And frankly, Darwin Thompson was so impressive in the preseason and at training camp. I'm excited. It reminded me a lot of the situation with Kareem Hunt. When Kareem Hunt got here, there was a lot of promise around Hunt, but we hadn't really seen what he could do. And then he got the reins after the injury promoted him to the starter in week one. And he, from the minute he was on the field, he was very impressive. And so I kind of feel like, you know, that's the case with Darwin Thompson too. But throw McCoy into the mix here, and it's going to be, I'm really curious to see what the Chiefs are going to do. I don't know how much McCoy will play this weekend, because even though McCoy's relationship with Andy Reid started in Philadelphia, our offense is definitely different than what Reid was running in Philadelphia. So I'm not sure that it translates real well. I'm not sure how quickly he can absorb the offense. But it's going to be an interesting few weeks here in the month of September to see how this running back situation, you know, works itself out. Will Damian stay healthy? Will Darwin Thompson rise above Damian as a featured back? Or will these two be kind of a running back by committee? And then how will McCoy be used? Mm-hmm. The Bills, you saw last year, even though he didn't have a good year, you saw how much he caught out of the backfield. That's a big deal in an Andy Reid offense. So I think they'll find a way to get him into the mix as well. I'm really going to be fascinated by the month of September when it comes to the running game.
And don't you think that if there is some gas left in the tank, that LeSean McCoy being reunited with Andy Reid, that'll bring it out of him?
I do, and I think, you know, the one thing I've always said about pro athletes is that they are uber competitive. And I don't mean competitive like I was with my brother growing up. I mean, if two players pull up to the parking lot at the same time and they get out of the car at the same time, I guarantee you they're going to race to the door, and there's going to be money probably put on who gets there first. So there's just a competitive spirit in professional athletes like no other. And I know a guy that's played at the level that LeSean McCoy has played at has that competitive spirit. When you dangle in front of him a team that has a Super Bowl contention in its midst and a coach that he loved playing for like Andy Reid, I suspect you're going to see the best come out of him. Whatever he's got left, I think it's going to be you're going to see it on the field.
10 minutes into the interview and no Patrick Mahomes question. I guess we should talk about the kid. rookies, I guess you could say, yeah, NFL teams have had a look at him now for a year, and maybe they can game plan better, but isn't his skill set so difficult? I mean, even if those you see it, he's just hard to defend.
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the things you see out of the greats of the game is that you can know what they're going to do, but you can't stop them. And with Mahomes, I kind of went into the off season thinking, well, you know, this will be 2019 will be a sophomore effort for him, and we all know what happens in sophomore efforts. Typically, there's kind of a slide backwards, and part of that comes from the player himself, but I think more of it comes, at least in the National Football League, from the fact there's so much film. You know, you've got 16 games or 20 games that you can look at now and see all of his tricks. But again, you know, I think the greats, you can know what they're going to do, but you can't stop them. I think Mahomes' decision-making is so quick. He just doesn't hang on to that ball long enough to really get to him, and which is good for his health because he's not a bigger guy. He's a smaller quarterback in the league. And I think, you know, what I saw from training camp, what we saw in preseason, frankly, his mental, where he's at mentally with this offense is much improved. He's in better physical condition. He really set himself up right here to not have that sophomore slump. And from what we saw in a couple of preseason games, if they're able to be on the same page, he and Tyreek Hill, the level they are, he and Sammy Watkins, and then you throw into the mix Mecole Hardman, man, this kid's as fast as he's like the second incarnation of Tyreek Hill. I've never seen so much speed on the field. If Mahomes has a moderately good year, they're still going to put 30 points every week up. And, you know, in my opinion, if you can put 21 points up on an NFL team, you should win that football game. And that kind of circles us back to the defense, I know. But from Mahomes' standpoint, I really feel like he's going to have another great year and set himself up for probably a record-breaking contract at some point.
He has become the face of the NFL as well. Have you been impressed with how he has handled such quick fame?
Oh, no doubt. It's amazing to me. And I kind of pray at night that it continues, because you see in this league so often, you know, that white-hot spotlight can melt an individual. And I've been around, you know, when Joe Montana came here in 1993, I remember it vividly it's not a media circus, but there's just an incredible amount of attention that gets paid to guys like that. And I have never seen it to this level, not even in 93 with Montana. The hype over Patrick Mahomes, the number of people wanting to touch and be a part of Patrick Mahomes from a sponsorship or an organization level is just phenomenal. And how he's been able to go about keeping that grounded, you know, he was asked to come out and do a film shoot for a week in L.A. in the off season, and he agreed to do it only with the condition that he be given 6 hours of workout time a day and a facility to do that in that had his specifications. I love the fact that he's still got football in the center of his focus, and so I don't know whether that's his dad being a professional athlete. I'm not really sure whether he's just surrounded himself with good counsel, but it still takes a player to choose to follow the wisdom of that counsel. And what we're seeing out of Patrick Mahomes is just that. It's impressive. I hope it continues.
A couple more minutes with Dan Israel before we let him go, executive producer of the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. All right, so the offseason, obviously, the story of Tyreek Hill being accused of domestic violence, child abuse. He's been cleared of those charges. Did that in any way hang over the preseason?
You know, surprisingly, no. It was such an intensity that it worried me that it would. It was not a pleasant off season for a lot of reasons. It's an unpleasant. It's an ugly subject. It's not something that we want to be, as sports broadcasters, want to be talking about. But it's a fact of life in all sports and in life in itself. And it was very depressing to think how this would affect the team, especially on the heels of the Kareem Hunt situation. Very glad that it turned out to be completely different than the Kareem Hunt situation, in that, you know, there wasn't the there was accusation but not substance to it, but I still feared how that would hang over, because there was such a strong opinion about it, and frankly, all of us as fans rushed to judgment a little on it. So I was worried about it, but very quickly at camp we saw fans embracing Tyreek, chanting his name as he walked. The very first day as he walked down the hill, that fans were there, the fans broke into a chant, Tyreek, 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 and I was surprised by that. I feel like everybody kind of rushed to judgment on it, but when he was cleared, they backed off and said, you know what? We're not going to hold him accountable for something he didn't do. And so that was a pleasant surprise, and it really didn't linger into training camp, and I don't think it's going to linger into the regular season.
Well, what about the schedule? As you take a look at it, you start with a couple road games, I think three or four on the road, but certainly opponents that appear to be manageable. How do you look at the schedule and how it sets up for the Chiefs?
Well, you know, I think one of the things about this year's schedule that is something to watch, the very front part of it, September and maybe mid-October, I think when you bring a new defense together like the Chiefs have done, it's going to take a while for them to start to gel and become a cohesive unit. So how they play in the month of September and into that early October, I think, is important. The good side of that, even though there's a lot of road games up front, the good side of that is we don't have a lot of division games up front. We play the Lions and the Texans and the Colts and the Jags. You know, I mean, there's only the Raiders, and I think we have one I think we have a Broncos game early or mid-October.
October 17th.
Yeah, so I like that part of it. But, you know, the important thing is how you finish the season, and it's always a grind. The NFL structures those divisional games at the end of the year. So when we get to the month of December, I think it's going to be a tough haul. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be a grind. I think even winning this division, the Chargers can be sneaky on you. Who knows what? It's hard to believe that the Raiders will be any good with what's going on out there. You know,
I know you feel sorry for the Raiders, don't you?
I do. I couldn't happen to a better organization. You know?
Oh, Antonio Brown. We're thankful he's not in a Chiefs uniform.
Amen.
Hey, Dan Israel, thanks for the rundown and getting us all fired up about Kansas City Chiefs football. We'll be listening in on Sunday.
My pleasure. Go Chiefs.
All right. Red Friday. Thank you. That's Dan Israel. Good stuff from the executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. 11 o'clock pregame start from Jacksonville on 99.9 The Captain. Coming up next, we'll preview Mobile League Cross Country with Coach Greg Carroll.
Lots of pharmacies have $4 lists these days, but the $4 list at Sam's Health Mart Pharmacies is better. Why?